Hello and welcome to the A Perspective with me, Andrew Skipper. I'm head of the Africa practice for international law firm Hogan Lovells, and I'm also a member of the UK government's Africa Investors Group. I'm passionate about doing business in Africa and providing legal support for companies who are invested in the continent's future. Through these podcasts, I'll be exploring how business and governments are working together in Africa, particularly as we navigate our way through the COVID-19 pandemic. My guest today is Kaseni Dlamini. He's a leading African industrialist, chairman of both Aspen Pharmaceuticals and the board of Massmart in South Africa. With the current COVID-19 crisis putting the focus on pharma and supply chain in the food sector, no one is better placed than Kaseni to speak on the current situation. He now joins me from Johannesburg. Welcome, Kaseni. Good morning.
Good morning, Andrew. Thank you very much indeed for having me on this important podcast, and hello to all your listeners.
Thank you very much indeed. Kaseni, we last met in different circumstances, and we finished last year with very positive messages around the Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement, lots of talk about intercontinental trade, and I know you're passionate about that. We then started the year with more positive messages from around the world, including the UK Africa Investment Summit, and now we're hit with a pandemic creating global lockdown, closed borders, lack of PPE in the UK, runs on malarial drugs, queues outside supermarkets. How are you sleeping at the moment, given your roles?
I do try to sleep, but a lot of issues really preoccupying us, as indeed this pandemic was not expected. And indeed, we live in unprecedented, uncharted territory as we are. We're having to think about our supply chains on the retail side, just making sure that there's enough merchandise in our stores, and also that our staff are well looked after. When this whole thing started, the first priority for us, Andrew, was just to make sure that the health and welfare of our staff is taken care of, put them first. And we did that by, you know, adjusting the way in which we work and adapting and adjusting to the challenges or indeed the imperatives for social distancing, and also looking at the appropriate PPE that our staff needed to have. And also, we had to put our customers first by, you know, making sure that we provide in our retail stores, for example, hand sanitizers, sanitize customers as they enter the stores, and make sure that we've got wipes, disinfectants for our trolleys, and also have points for sanitizing even inside the shop itself. So really, the welfare of staff and customers became top of mind. And of course, looking at the supply chain and making sure that it continues to be robust and effective and efficient is an ongoing focus.
Well, let's look at Massmart a bit more, because obviously both Ben and Massmart are right on the front line of this crisis. But with Massmart, I assume your business is actually doing very well, or is it actually the costs of supply chain are balancing out? How is it working for you?
Well, with the lockdown, virtually the whole economy in South Africa ground to a halt. It is the essential part of our retail business, the food and grocery part that has been operational, the general merchandise business, which is a very significant proportion of our retail business, has been non-operational. So the economic impact of the lockdown in South Africa has been very severe across the piece. I think the focus now has just been to really ensure it's not so much about profits. It's an era where we have to put people before profit, where we have got to put the livelihoods of our customers, our communities, and our nation first above all else. So it's been about feeding the nation, making sure that there's food on the shelves. And that's really been the role that we've been playing. And it's been something that our teams have done very well in working with the authorities and working with our supply chains. We've managed, as we assured everyone when panic buying and stockpiling started, we assured people that they shouldn't do that, because we have a very efficient and robust supply chain that will ensure consistent supply of food.
And I see you've actually frozen prices on essentials and made that very public. Why did you see that was essential?
Our mission, Andrew, is to help our customers save money so that they can live better. There is no more appropriate time than at this time for us to be there for our customers and to make sure that the goods are not just there on the shelves, but they are also affordable. There was a justifiable concern and fear that there will be a spike in prices of goods during this time. And we thought that as a responsible business, as a responsible retailer that puts customers first, freezing prices was one of the things that we have to do as a contribution to looking after the welfare of our customers, which is why we announced a price freeze.
You have a Pan-African business with a supply chain across the continent. How has that been affected, your wider African business?
Yeah, you must have seen as a Pan-Africanist yourself, in terms of your love and passion for the continent, that most countries have imposed lockdowns of sorts. And that has impacted on the movement of goods across borders and within borders in some markets. But we've continued to work within the constraints that we face. We've had to learn and innovate as we go, just to make sure that we keep our businesses going. And we've managed to continue trading. And what Massmart does in all markets is to look at partnering with local suppliers. Yeah. And as much as possible, we want to make sure that we source goods as close to the market we operate as possible. That's part of contributing to local economic growth and sustainability, and that's also part of simplifying the logistics and supply chain costs and dynamics.
Yeah. And do you see this as accelerating the move online for your business?
Not in the South African context, because even the online business was shut down in the sense that only the same products could be traded. Even online players had to close shop. Like, you know, they couldn't be moving goods around during the lockdown, and still can't do that until the lockdown ends. So we haven't seen what you're seeing in markets like the United States, where there's been quite a lot of activity on the online side.
Yeah.
Simply because there was no lockdown. The restrictions on the lockdown have not been as strict as they've been this side.
Interesting. I mean, turning to the other hat you wear, or one of the other hats you wear, should I say, Aspen, it's, I think, the biggest pharmaceutical manufacturer in the Southern Hemisphere. You're in dozens of countries. How is Aspen directly involved in the medical interventions around COVID, and what are you seeing in Aspen at the moment?
Aspen operates in over 50 countries in the world. As you've said, we're the leading pharmaceutical manufacturer in the Southern Hemisphere. And we've geared our processes and our capacities to be able to respond to the increased demand for our medical products at this time. And we've partnered with authorities across all the markets where we operate. And we've really been part of the solution in helping authorities and countries and hospitals respond to this challenge, which was unforeseen. And Aspen has also worked quite actively in the South African context with the local authorities in terms of making our manufacturing facilities available for the drugs that are required in this time, and across the EU market where we operate, as well. We're number one in anesthetics in the world outside of the United States. Our teams have been very active with the response that the authorities have been leading in markets like Italy, Spain, France, and elsewhere in the world. So this has been a time really for Aspen to show that we really care, and we're there for our patients, and we want to make sure that we provide good quality medical products that are affordable at a time when they are needed.
In both these roles, you focus very much on your role in society, I think. And as a leading African businessman and leading African businesses, how do you see your role in supporting South Africa and Africa more generally at this time?
I think our role is to be there for our customers, it's to be there for our staff, it's to be there for our communities, it's to be there for our suppliers. At the end of the day, we have to be a stakeholder-centric business. We've got to be connected and plugged in with the concerns and needs and expectations and requirements of all our stakeholders at any given point in time. We see ourselves as a very responsible corporate citizen. We want to be the most trusted and most admired business, across the whole of Africa and across the world. In Africa, the need is more pressing than anywhere else in the world, where you find that healthcare systems don't have the resilience and the capacity that is required to cope with pandemics such as COVID-19. And this is the time for African leaders to think very deep and to think in a much more strategic way around partnering with all role players to build the resilience and capacity of African economies and societies to cope with such pandemics. The way to do this, and to me, it's really to look at how do we use this as an opportunity to trigger the strategic reforms and transformation that is required to make African economies more resilient, to make them move from being developing economies to being first world economies, so that across the piece, you've got domestic supply chains that are world class, that can provide the health infrastructure, the medical supplies, the PPE that we're seeing countries globally now jostling for, and every country now is looking after its own interests and after its own citizens. And Africa has got to build that capacity to be able to look after its own citizens, to be able to provide for its own citizens and provide for its own requirements.
Yes, it's very interesting because that, I mean, the African Union has called for a new paradigm for Africa. They talk about deferring cancellation of debts, but they're also talking the sort of thing you and I have talked about over the last year or so with investment in Africa, driving value addition on the continent, building up supply chains to support intra-Africa trade, and particularly seeking to challenge dependency perhaps on the global supply chain on the Chinese and replacing some of that with Africa. Do you agree with these objectives and are they realistic?
These are very noble and commendable objectives. And I think the key thing is to build the capacity to implement and execute on them, to deliver them. It's one thing articulating them, which is a good starting point, but I think in the ultimate analysis is the execution and the delivery that matters. And that's where Africa has got to focus in terms of building capacity, in terms of developing that discipline to execute and implement the right reforms and the right interventions to be able to diversify its economic base, to be able to minimize its reliance on external sources for key products and the key services that are required to keep the continent growing at the rate at which it must grow in order to absorb the youthful demographics that it has. The signing of the African Continental Free Trade Area was the right step in the right direction. I do hope that the COVID pandemic and the lockdowns that have followed this pandemic do not delay or derail the launch of the African...
Sorry, you don't think there is a danger that with borders being shut, it's a premature end to Africa? Do you see it's just a postponement? How do you see that?
I think the danger is there, but it has to be acknowledged and it has to be avoided. Mm. I think more than ever before, this lockdown period indicates the need for Africa to work in a much more joined up and integrated fashion and to really build pockets and areas of excellence in terms of pursuing industrialization strategies that are looking at building and sustaining the capacity for Africa to manufacture various products that it needs to be self-reliant to the extent that it's required, and also to be able to produce products to export to the rest of the world. I look forward to a situation where if a pandemic like this emerges in future, the world looks to Africa to supply ventilators, supply masks, just like the world is looking to China to supply a lot of the PPE and a lot of what is required in response to this pandemic. And we've seen how countries like the United States have managed to repurpose some of their capabilities to produce ventilators at the scale that is required at this time.
So this could act as a catalyst, you think, for promoting Pan-Africa, Pan-African trade, intra-Africa trade, and Africa as a place for adding value?
I think it should be used as an opportunity to be a catalyst to promote intra-African trade and to unlock the full productive potential of Africa. But it just requires leaders that are strategic, leaders that are visionary, leaders that are willing to do what it takes to be able to position Africa. Let's not forget, Andrew, most Asian countries that we see as first world were almost in the same position as Africa in the 1950s and 60s. And those countries have managed to actually execute industrialization programs that have made them to be almost first world countries. And it shows that it can be done. When you look at the likes of Singapore, the likes of South Korea, and Taiwan, where they are today, I think Africa can learn from the experiences of those countries.
In the case of South Africa, is this a chance to put in place certain reforms for the future, which people have been waiting for?
I think in the context of South Africa, the private sector has been calling for certain crucial structural reforms, which have taken long to come by. I think this is an opportunity for the authorities to implement those structural reforms so that South Africa can enhance and improve its global competitiveness.
What sort of reforms would you say are critical?
We need labor market reforms, for example, to make our labor market more flexible and more market friendly. We also need more clarity around the issue of land expropriation without compensation. The authorities have assured us that it will be done within the framework of the constitution and that there won't be any land grabs, but I think there's need for more assurance and more certainty on that. In the energy sector, we need a modern energy policy and energy industry with the right energy mix and also setting the basis for energy security, which is so critical to sustain the growth that we need in order to create employment and reduce poverty and inequalities. We need to really unlock the full potential of our tourism sector. We've got massive and amazing tourism assets, which create a huge opportunity for us to be a tourism location of choice in the world. But we need to make it easier for global tourists to come to South Africa. And more importantly, we need a skills revolution to make sure that we train our young people to have the skills and competencies that are required in the fourth industrial revolution, that are required in a knowledge-intensive global economy. But more importantly, also not to forget that we need to build our manufacturing base. If anything, COVID-19 has reinforced the need for very robust industrial policy to promote industrialization at a domestic level that is world-class. And this is the time to rebuild our manufacturing sector, to have the right artisans, the right technicians that we need to sustain and underpin the world-class competitive economy that South Africa is capable of having.
I mean, I've never seen anything like this before. The pandemic seems to be suggesting to us all that we might be looking to do business differently in the future and see our world differently. People are talking about new normals. Do you think that's just because we're all stuck at home, or do you think we will actually emerge from this crisis with very different perspectives on our responsibilities to society and how we do business?
Yeah, I think this crisis has really forced us to pause and reflect about the nature of our economies and societies, and also the nature in which we've been conducting our lives and our businesses and other activities. When we emerge out of this, it won't be the same world that it was before the lockdowns that we've been experiencing. It will definitely be a different new normal that we've got to adjust to. It will have aspects of the old normal, and there will have to be new aspects that we'll have to integrate, we'll have to embrace, we'll have to adapt and learn to live with and work with. And I think that we will come out strong, we'll come out being better and being more focused, being efficient. And I think it will also discipline us to also think about our carbon footprint and our impact on the environment. That yes, we can pursue economic activities, create wealth, create jobs, but we've got to do it in a responsible and sustainable way that doesn't compromise the future of future generations.
As a leading industrialist, your message to African companies, big and small at the moment, is what in that context?
It's really that let's realize and appreciate that we are interconnected as humanity, and that going forward, this should not mark an end of global integration and globalization. We don't want this threat of deglobalization becoming a reality, but we need to look at how we connect that much better with each other, how we work together to be able to be more prepared when a global pandemic of this sort and scale and complexity emerges in the future, and that we can be able to respond swiftly and faster and effectively to be able to conquer it before it kills thousands of people, as we have seen now. And I think for Africans, it's really a humbling moment for us to discover that we need each other, and there's no African country that can defeat this pandemic on its own. We need joined up, integrated action, and we need to work together with other parts of the world to be able to rise from the ashes of this pandemic to build globally competitive, prosperous, inclusive societies that are free of poverty, free of inequality, free of disease, free of want, and free of the huge unemployment that we are seeing. And I'm very confident that we'll emerge out of this very strong. We're going to rebuild, we're going to recover, we're going to be more prosperous than ever before.
Kaseni Adelimini, chairman of Aspen Pharmaceuticals and of the board of Massmart in South Africa, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for your time on the A Perspective.
Thanks indeed.